Our next reading is coming from the New Testament, and we are in the Gospel of Luke, Luke 12, starting at verse 49 through 46. Hear now God's word. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, the son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Jesus also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be a scorching heat. And so it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. But why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the word of the Lord. When my husband and I first got down here to Maryland, I got very excited to see the Waffle House. I heard a lot about the Waffle House. I had a friend from seminary who was a northerner like me who moved down south, and we kept in touch, and all I kept hearing from her every time I called her up on the phone to talk to her, all I heard about the Waffle House. I just ate at the Waffle House. To my northerner ears, it sounded like a heavenly place. I do like waffles over pancakes, but I like French toast over waffles, but there aren't any French toast houses. I haven't seen them yet. Anyway, I got so excited to see this iconic restaurant, and I couldn't wait to eat there. Now, I already mentioned to you that it sounded like a heavenly place. It was indeed heavenly, and I'm not just talking about the waffles I had. You see, there was a sense of community in the Waffle House. There was a sense of care in the Waffle House. And there didn't seem to be anyone hemming or hawing as to what to order, what to do. Everyone there seemed to be really focused and committed to what this was all about. Now, what's the big deal, you're probably wondering? For me as a pastor, the big deal is it was really nice to see and feel that sense of community. To see and feel that sense of care. To see and feel that committed focus. Even if it was just over a waffle. As my waffle came, I kept playing with it with my fork. My husband's like, why are you poking at your waffle? I was thinking. I poke at food when I think. And I kept thinking about the word waffle. It's a funny word, waffle. You say it more often and it gets funnier by the second. Waffle, waffle. Well, waffle, defined by Webster's dictionary, is defined as to vacillate. That is, not being able to make up one's mind, switching back and forth from one side to another, not being committed to any one thing or any one way. Waffle. I think we can all pretty much think back to a time in our lives in which we found ourselves waffling. It happens. It's normal. Sometimes there just seems to be too many options to choose from, and not one of them really feels completely right. Or sometimes there just seems to be too many sides to an issue that you can see. You can see both. Well, when I finally stopped playing with the food that was before me, I began to realize that when it comes to living a life in which we call ourselves Christian, I realize there's more waffling going on in our houses of faith, in our houses of worship, than in the Waffle House. For Christian is a label that tells the world we are following the suffering servant. We are following the crucified Christ. We are following the risen Lord. Risen, which means he's on the move. He's doing things. The risen Lord. It's also a label, Christian, that should tell the world what we are living for. Not the here and now. I'm not talking about, oh, we're living for this goal or that goal. But it should tell the world that we have our eyes focused at the grand prize, the heavenly prize. And once our eyes are focused on the heavenly prize, because that's real life. That's real life. This is just an appetizer. When we are so focused on the real goal, then the way we live starts to impact people. No waffling, no indecision. It's all for Jesus or nothing at all. And yet, last week we heard from the prophet Isaiah, who came onto the scene some 700 years before Christ came. And he came with some stern words about changing our ways because we were drifting away from God, what God wanted. Last week, we heard specifically about the danger of worshiping the act of worship, or worse yet, going through the motions of worship and not having any real passion for what we're doing. Well, the warnings, they don't stop. Here in chapter 5 of Isaiah, we have what is known as the Song of the Vineyard, a love song illustrating Judah as the vineyard and God as the farmer, who did so much to ensure a fruitful, beautiful harvest. God first chose a very fertile hill. And the Hebrew word that is used in our Bibles for hill, it really means horn. So it indicates to us that the vineyard was planted on a prominent mountain peak, like a horn. Therefore, it was guaranteed to have sun hitting the vines all the time. Isaiah sings that God himself then dug up the ground and he cleared all the stones that were in the way. God then planted it with the choicest vine and he built a watchtower to guard it. God did everything to make this vineyard his children, to yield a beautiful and promising harvest. Think about it in terms of the story of God's children. Didn't God choose a fertile land for the Israelites when he led them out of Cana, into Cana? Didn't God clear the land of all the obstacles, the rocks? Didn't he provide the choicest of vines when he raised up patriarchs such as Abraham, Moses, and David to guide the children? And prophets like Isaiah himself were the watchmen in those watchtowers, warning people of the danger to come. God did all of this, yet God's children waffled in their faith commitment, instead of love for enemy, well, I don't know, I kind of hate that person still. Instead of open hearts came kind of callous hearts. Well, that person hurt me before, so I'm not quite sure if I'm going to trust them again. Instead of faith in the impossible came doubt. Instead of stepping up to be the one to help, to serve, came along, well, let's get somebody else to do it. Let's pass the buck. God is loyal to tending to us. He is. But in return, God asks from us our steadfastness, He wants our steadfast trust in him. He wants our steadfast love, our commitment to him and him alone. No wavering, no waffling. It's no mistake that our very first four commandments in the Ten Commandments that Moses was given, the first four focuses on our relationship with God. The first two being, you shall have no other gods before me, and you shall not make any idols to worship. And yet we waver, we vacillate. We have other gods before God. We make other idols to worship. We have a hard time staying the God course, because when you stay the God course in life, it seems to get harder than easier. It does. When you have committed to follow Jesus, life gets harder. It doesn't get easier. But yet, it's a lot easier then to deny Christ, just to be part of the crowd, to fit in. Our teens and our children, they know that very well, because they reach a certain age where all of a sudden they stop talking about God. They stop talking, yeah, well, I go to church. They start to keep quiet, because you see, it's not popular, it's not cool to say, I've decided to follow Jesus, what about you? They reach that certain age where they decide to keep quiet. And perhaps we know of friends or even people in our own families that told stories of losing loved ones, all because of their newfound faith in God. We know all too well how many times we allow secular pressures due to work or community obligations, we allow them to take the better part of us, leaving so little time and energy for God. We allow that. It just seems easier to waffle than to win the world for Christ, doesn't it? But here is the good news. There's always good news with God. The good news is this: an easy life was not part of the deal with God. That is good news. Rather, what was part of the deal, what is the deal, is that we are promised peace in the storms. God promises to always be with us, no matter what. And when we commit to him, we're not guaranteed anything easy, but we are guaranteed strength and peace to keep on following. For Jesus himself says here in Luke 12, I didn't come necessarily to bring peace on earth. No, I didn't. But rather division. Now, Jesus, he wasn't coming to stir up trouble. Jesus, as I mentioned to the children, he was reminding everybody what it was going to be like when you decide to follow him. Because when you decide to follow Jesus, that means you are already threatening the status quo. Following Jesus threatens those who are holding on to power. Following Jesus can threaten family dynamics. It can threaten dynamics in a church as well. And so this part of Luke, which is part of the traveling narrative, it's called, because he's making his way all throughout the countryside, reaching people, preaching and healing. He's traveling to the cross. And as he travels, he is saying the same message over and over again to everyone he meets. Make up your minds what it is going to be. God or your own way. Because you can't have it both ways. A choice needs to be made. And if we think that living for Jesus is hard, think what Jesus went through. There was no waffling on his part at all. He was 100% committed to God and to each one of you. 100% committed. He set his face towards Jerusalem, knowing that the cross was waiting for him. He says it right in the Luke text that we heard. I have a baptism in which to be baptized. Now, you might be scratching your heads thinking, wait, he was already baptized at the beginning of his ministry 3 years ago. I kind of remember that scripture. We hear it usually early January, the baptism of our Lord Sunday. But Jesus is saying, no. I'm making my way because I have a baptism in which to be baptized. What he's talking about is I have a death on a cross to endure for all of you. Yes, I know. I know I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the Son of God. I know he has divine DNA programmed in him. So of course, Jesus could be steadfast in his commitment. You see, we're only human. We don't have that divine DNA in our being. But what we do have, we have the knowledge of God. We have the love of God. And we know that with Christ we can do all things. So I don't want to hear the excuse, yeah, but Jesus was divine too, as well as human, and I'm not. Abraham was fully human, and yet he traveled to an unknown land because God told him, go. He didn't waffle at all. Moses, he left Pharaoh, and he left a life of comfort in the courts to be with his true Hebrew people, his roots, and to lead God's children out of bondage. Okay, there was a little bit of waffling on Moses' part because he tried to say to God, I can't do that, you see. I can't really speak too well, God. Well, God solved that problem and had his brother speak for him. And then they did it. They led God's children out of bondage. Moses' protege, Joshua, he too had to make a decision. And he said, on this day, me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. I could go on and on with examples of all of God's children who really didn't waffle. But I think you get what I'm trying to say. What God desires from us all. He desires our trust and our commitment because he has some glorious plans for us. And I hope you realize this day that God is working incredibly through ordinary people like me and you, just as he worked incredibly through ordinary people like Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Mary, Samuel. Our lives each have a God purpose. But we miss it when we don't fully commit to God. So there I was, poking at my food. And I realized there's more waffling in our houses of faith than in the Waffle House that I was sitting in. I looked around and I saw community. I saw people greeting one another with smiles, talking to one another. I saw hugs. It was then I noticed the tagline to the Waffle House hash browns. Their hash browns are famous, and it says, order our hash browns, and they come scattered, smothered, and covered. Scattered, smothered, and covered. I look around, and I whispered a silent amen. For those who were scattered were brought in to this Waffle House. They were smothered by care and covered with a love that spoke of a love that was so divine without even having a preacher there preach it. And I'm not the only one who has noticed more of the Holy Spirit at work in the Waffle House than in churches. There's a former pastor and chaplain, now an author. He actually wrote a book called The Gospel According to the Waffle House. And he, after eating many, many meals at the Waffle House, he came to realize something, and he wrote, "The last thing our community needs is another church. But it surely needs a place like this, a place of simplicity, of substance, where people can learn what it means to follow Christ, worship Christ, to love their neighbors, break bread together." In his bio on the back of the book jacket, it read, "He can be found every Christmas Eve, not hanging out at a church, but hanging out at the Waffle House." So friends, Christmas Eve services this year will be at the Waffle House. He can be found every Christmas Eve, hanging out and ministering at the Waffle House. For as there he sees Christ in the commitment to welcome, to smile, to be there for one another. I too have been spending more time hanging out these past few weeks beyond this church, and I have been blessed by hearing more conversations of folks that don't come through these doors on a Sunday. Conversations that are vital to who God is calling us to be, because you know what? In this church, in the office, in our sanctuary, we have the same conversations over and over with the same people. We have the same conversations with the same people. Where is that getting us? I can't wait to have conversations with all of you, because I'm sure you all can teach me, a pastor, a thing or two about Christ at work in our lives. And I'm looking forward to it. It's time to stop waffling in life, straddling two worlds, straddling trust in God and trust in ourselves, saying we need to go out, yet we keep staying in, saying we need to change, and yet we don't change. Let us commit to God. Yeah, it's not going to be easy. That's a guarantee. But God will be with us. That's a guarantee. And so if you wonder where your pastor is, check the Waffle House, where the only waffling going on is the waffle on my plate, and where the kingdom of God can be seen in all of its raw, broken, and beautiful realities. Thanks be to God. Amen.